Going to focus on the reality of refugees this morning. Tomorrow is World Refugee Day, and there are tens of millions of refugees in the world today that don't have the privilege of being able to gather in freedom, that some are in camps, some are in other countries where they aren't allowed to work because of their refugee status. And that's not counting the people who are what are called internally displaced people, people who are in their own country but away from home because they can't, it's not safe to be home. That's not counting the people who have fled and aren't actually refugees yet. They're just living illegally somewhere because it's not safe for them to come home, but they aren't welcome. There are millions and millions of people with that place. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I hear huge numbers and see big problems, it's hard to think about even, it's hard to comprehend it. And so rather than trying to comprehend millions of stories that are complex and challenging and all different, we thought we'd just share one story. Well, it's actually one story that touches a bunch of different points today. Many of you had a chance to meet Jill and Jer, who are over there. They used to live in Holland, and while they were there, they met, I think he was younger then than he is now, but I'll call him young because he's close to my age, but a young man named Sam. Sam has a refugee story, and he has a story also of sponsoring family who later became refugees. And so I had a chance to interview Sam yesterday, and I will apologize to him because he shortened his story so much for the interview, and then I had to cut pieces out. And so I hope you get a sense of his story as we watch and listen, and that it will both help you understand more the plight of at least some refugees, the sense of what it means to be family of those who are still refugees. And he gives some words of encouragement, having worked with a church and sponsoring people to come. He gives some words of encouragement that I hope that we can listen to together as well. So let's just sit back and watch this.
So, Sam, it's great to meet you. I heard about you through Jill and Jer, who are part of our Covenant community. As we prepare to sponsor some refugees, they said, here's someone that would be great for you to speak with, who has an amazing story, both as a refugee and as a family member who sponsored people. And I'm wondering if you could just really briefly tell us where were you a refugee? When were you a refugee? And just really briefly, what was that experience as a refugee like for you?
Okay, great. Yeah, nice to meet you, John. Hi, everyone. My name is Sam Aldarwish. I was born in Damascus in Syria. I'm 43 years old right now. I have moved to Holland as a refugee in year 2000, so that makes it about 23 years ago. I lived in Holland 17 years. 13 years of that 17 years, I was sort of a refugee. It took me 13 years to see my family first time after I became a refugee. So before I was able to go back and visit them and see them. What I would say about my time in Holland, that refugee life is not an easy life for a few reasons. And one of the reasons is that you would, at one point when you become refugee, you would lose something of your status. So you think that you are something. You come to a strange country, strange people. You live with them, and then suddenly you have got nothing. You feel like you are an infant, you are a baby. And in many places, and Holland was one of them, is they look down at refugees. So they see refugees as second-class people. So to make long story short, I have lived in Holland 17 years. I became Dutch. I got the Dutch nationality. I spoke Dutch. In 17 years, I never felt home there. So I think, like I would say clearly, I was all this time without a home. I was not able to start my life back home in Syria. because I was settled in Europe and I got married, I got kids and I have life there, but I still did not experience of the life of having home just because of rejections. So that's one of the things that refugees in general, I can say that they will face in strange countries, that they will feel rejected. Rejection can lead to many things. In my case, I would say when I felt rejection, it led me closer to God. Other friends, when they felt rejection, they went different direction. They went to drugs. They went to do things or think of things that is not wise to do. It could be a good thing in a way of changing personality, in a way of leading to see and experience God in new ways. That was my story. That's how I actually became Christian. And like I have born in Christian, Catholic, and Orthodox family, but I never experienced God. And I think you understand what I'm saying here. It's like, yeah, I'm just, my name is Christian, but I never actively practiced mm-hmm. Christianity or lived Christian life. So I came to Europe and I was 21 years old and I felt rejection at that time. I think that age was a little bit difficult because I was all by myself. I have been about 2 or 3 years when I went in complete wrong direction. I also followed the wrong ways. I'm not gonna go in details, but I would leave it to your imagination. But God's grace was good. I think in the third year, experiencing the rejection and calling for help after I lost a lot in Holland and after I was rejected, and actually I've been thrown out of the system. So I was a refugee for 3 years and then they closed my case and they kicked me out of the system. And they said, you know, you have to get out. You are not welcome, you are not wanted, and you have to find a way to get out of the country. That's when I left the refugee camp, because we used to live at that time in refugee camps. So I left the refugee camp and I started to find my way in Amsterdam without the help of the government, without the help of anyone. So sort of they call it there, it's illegal. Like I was living illegal at that time. So, but that's when I actually started to experience God's grace. That's when I joined the church and I started to hear new things that I never heard before. Like when I started to understand the word grace, the word that don't be afraid, I will be with you. And I started to experience so many stories at that age, at that time, that makes me looks weird, that changed my life, because now my view of life started to become Christian. And then also I started to experience another way of rejection, which is my friend's rejection.
Okay.
So because I started also to get out of their view of life, and then I started to become Christian, I started to go to church, I started to practice, pray, and join Bible study groups. And then I met some people who they led me into a one-to-one Bible study group. They explained to me more about the grace. They explained to me more about who Jesus is, explained to me about how I should feel in this rejection time, and what personally helped me to accept my situation as I am rejected everywhere is the story of Jesus himself, that he was rejected himself. So if my Lord and Savior himself was rejected, who am I to, am I not better than him? You know, to be a refugee without Jesus is different when you are a refugee with Jesus. And that happens for in many cases in life, not just about refugee situation. Mm-hmm. You know, my family became refugees in Lebanon in 2015.
Okay.
So that was a couple of years after I became a Dutch citizen. So in 2013, it was in the middle of the war. I was able to go and visit Syria, visit my family. That was the first time after I left Syria in 2000. So that's 13 years later. Mm-hmm. So it was in the middle of that war was when it was everything still bad. I went for 2 weeks. I experienced the war at that time, that area. And 2 short weeks, but it gave me a little glimpse of the risk of their lives. Like you walk, you never know when a bomb will come over you. So I have been there sleeping in the house when I was actually physically feel the house shaking from the strength of the bombs around us. I was not allowed from my family to go look through the window of the house or go up to the roof just because you don't know who's going to snipe you. And there was constant fear at that time. I was not allowed to go by myself on the road because you never know who's going to kidnap you. And that was 2 weeks. And I, after 13 years, missing everybody, 2 weeks was a bit long time for me. I just wanted to get out. Yeah, I'm loving about it now, but it was scary then.
Yeah.
I went back to Holland, experienced what they are experiencing every day. That did not give me any peace at that time. Mm-hmm. Knowing my mom, my brother is there with his kids, and I just desperately wanted to find way to get them out of that place. So we started the process to get them out from Syria to Holland. So we tried somehow to get them from Holland to Holland. But then after 2 years of court and applications and everything you can imagine that we did for them, they were rejected. So then that's when we heard about the Canadian Border Ground for sponsoring refugees. And that was, okay, long story short, that was when we already were starting, me and my wife, to immigrate to Canada. But for different reasons, but we just wanted to experience a new life here. By talking with JR and Jill, they... you know them.
Yes.
So we talked the story with them about helping them and about we want to sponsor them. And then they told us maybe the church will be able to help. They mentioned the story to the church, all of that, and that's why we were still in Holland. Mm-hmm. So they ran the story with them. They prayed about it, and I had contact with the church pastor. And then we talked about sponsoring them. But the problem is, sponsoring them is they cannot be refugees as long as they live in Syria.
Yes.
That's according to the law of international law. But at that time, things was going so fast with them. Risk was going so much for my brother. So we just decided to take the risk and let them come out to Lebanon. Even if the situation with the church in Canada did not work out, we thought we're gonna take step of faith and see how it goes. One day, suddenly, quickly managed, arranged for them to get out of Syria. Things worked out, but when they went to Lebanon, we actually had no plans where they were going, how they are going to leave, where they are going to leave. That when God's grace showed in mighty ways, so that we were able to actually get somebody to get them from the borders, to get somebody to find a place for them and to stay, and they were able to rent a place. We expected things will go within a year, but it took them about 2 years in Lebanon before they were able to get their paper ready. At that time, we have been in Canada. We moved to Canada, and I started my life here, and now waiting, working with the church to for the paperwork and trying to get them here, preparing things for them here. Paperwork went okay. After a while, they were able to come here. I remember that is the day when I felt completely in peace. Because now, all these years, I were feeling worried about them. The feeling got better in Lebanon, but the Lebanon situation, it's not as bad as it is now. But it was still worrying me a bit because there was some rules there, things changes. And they were picking up Syrians from the street and sending them back to Syria. And that was not something that you could feel comfortable with. So until the moment they came here, I actually felt this is good change for me personally. But so I can imagine what is for them.
Yes.
So, and I can imagine now what any refugee will come right now. It would be even 10 times more because the situation there is 10 times worse than it used to be 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. What I find here about Canada, and that's what I encourage Canadians and especially Christians, that guys, you have something nice that I would encourage that you people just let it out, let it shine. What I'm trying to say here, like, as I said earlier, I 17 years lived in Holland, I never felt home. I started my process with my wife and kids to immigrate to Canada. And I moved to Canada just a few weeks before my family, just to prepare the house and the work and everything. And I felt home within 2 weeks. And the reason I felt that is people. People here is just welcoming. I did not used to it. I'm not used to it. I came from Holland, everybody rejected me. In Canada, just accepted me. They just let me in. They did not judge my accent. They did not judge my look as like I am a bit darker or I speak with funny accent. They just accepted me. When I speak a word and then they could not understand me, they will try to explain to me. They will try to hear me well so they will understand what I'm saying. And I would encourage people here in general, especially from the church, to use that gift that is planted in our hearts in general, that accept strangers. Like I also, Jesus himself said it, when I was a stranger, you welcomed me. Mm. And I think Jesus himself appreciate welcoming strangers. Yes, was not born here. My family were not born here. We just sponsored them. They came here. They felt home here. They started to start a new life as strangers. Just the result of people from the church, they opened their hearts, they opened their pockets, and they put something with strangers they don't know. And then they help them to start a life, help them to have a new beginning. And that's what Jesus, I think he was talking about. By law, you are a year as a sponsor required to provide for this family, but you prepare them for a year to start life in Canada. Mm-hmm. But after that, nobody will ask you, nobody will question you what you're doing or you're not doing. But there are families who, they say, you know what, we welcomed you as a stranger and now you became one of us. So we will not let go of you. We're going to keep visiting you. You're going to keep visiting us. We're going to keep relationship with you. By doing that, you actually telling people that we love you, that we care, that show them what who Jesus is. I'm saying that because I think that is simple act, but it does make a change in refugee's life. Because when you have relationship for a year, it's not really good relationship. Relationships takes time to build up. If you really want to, if you really care about preaching the gospel to the nation, it, I think we all know that need relationship, you need trust. It took me years in Holland before I was able to trust somebody. And here, within a year, people come, they get into the program, they start job, they find job, and then they leave the church. Okay, thank you very much for helping us. Goodbye, I'm out. So they will go and find another way. And my advice here to the churches, to Christians in general, when you get strangers and you welcome them and you show God's love, continue doing that. Don't get to one point and say, I did my part, and then I left. Because it's easily, within 1 year, there is no relationship would be strong enough for them to know Jesus. Even if you did, even if you saved them from death and if you saved them from hardship.
That's really helpful, Sam. I really appreciate you sharing your story. And I hope that you might, we might be able to meet you. Then
I'm looking forward to see you. We already said.
That makes one of us. All right. All right. Thanks so much, Sam.
Okay, you, thank you for your time.
I hope that helps you, you know, get to know someone else's story and experience. And again, they're all, everyone's story is unique. But there's some pieces of that that are, that have some similarities in that, that we have some people who came here a number of years ago now. It's good to see you guys. Iman's embarrassed because I'm talking to her and she doesn't want people to notice her. It's good to see, it's good to see you, Lana. Glad you're back back in Canada. So let me just, I want to just update you a little bit on our current process. We applied to sponsor some of Iman's family a few years ago now. And we didn't hear anything for a long time other than everything's delayed because of COVID. And it was a couple of years of just waiting. And then all of a sudden we got information that, oh, they're taking the night, they're going to have an interview. And when that started, when things started to move ahead after a couple of years of waiting, I looked in the calendar, saw that tomorrow is World Refugee Day, and so I actually started praying that we would be able to, you know, have something to share at, on World Refugee Day, and that they might even be able to come by then. They aren't here yet, in case you haven't noticed, but things actually seemed like they weren't moving at all, and then we got more information, and it had jumped to the last stage. Seemingly, suddenly, to me anyway. And then we realized, oh, they're at the last stage. It looks like they are actually coming. We need to actually raise money. And that started like the next bit of pressure that we needed to do. And so we started to pray about the possibility of funds arriving for World Refugee Day. You know, my prayer was that they would arrive by World Refugee Day and that the funds would come by World Refugee Day. Neither of that has happened so far, but we are going to be taking up an offering just a little bit for the fund side. We were praying towards this weekend in terms of them coming, and Friday evening at 9 o'clock, I got two emails because I'm the primary contact person. And they aren't coming this weekend, but we have a date. we got it on Friday. Yeah. There's an itinerary that has them arriving here on September 8th. And so our hope is that we will be able to have the money all in before the summer, because people are away, and fundraising over the summer is a real challenge in the best of times. And so our hope is that by next week, we will have all of the money so that we can use the time that we do have in the summer to prepare to actually welcome them here, like right after Labor Day weekend. So yeah, that's exciting. It's a pretty audacious goal to say we're going to try and get this money in a month. But it was also pretty audacious that somehow through COVID stuff, we would find out by this weekend that they're coming, and yet God has done that. And so I actually talked to Iman via email, and she did not want to share up front, but she has written some words to share with us as we sponsor family to come. Let me just confirm, has it been 8 years since you've seen your mom and sister? 8 years. Pardon me? More than 8 years. More than 8 years. And so this is what Iman wrote. So thank you so much for your kind help. As a sponsor, your contribution is vital to our surviving as a family. We cannot make it without the generosity of supporters like you. I sincerely appreciate everything you've done for us. The big support you gave to me and my family and your country and community, it made me feel safe and trust myself. Thanks for giving us the opportunity to live with safety, peace, dignity, and respect. For bringing my mother and sister from Lebanon means a lot to all of us. You protect them and give them the ground to stand up and walk away from the dangerous civil war there and start a new life in Canada. They will work hard to make you proud of them in their new home. Please accept my deepest thanks, Iman. So, it's our... It is our honor to be able to, you know, be a part of this. And I'm going to invite Elise, if she would come and just pray for them and pray for this whole process and pray for the offering. There's a mic there. You can just stand on the first step there. And once she's done praying, we are going to sing a song. During that first verse of the song, you're not going to see the lyrics on the screen. There's an opportunity for those who are giving here in person. There's envelopes and pens in front of you. Just... You can put your offering in and write your information on the envelope and then write refugee fund on it. We aren't going to pass plates today. After the service, you can drop it in the box at the back on your way out. But we're going to give you that time during the first verse that we sing to do that. And if you're going to give remotely, you can log in online on your phones here or at home. Just go to covenantchurch.ca/give, click the online option, and then it'll open up a new page. And then when you go to give, it'll say, where do you want to give to? And there's a drop-down menu. Just make sure you select refugee fund before you fill out the rest of it to submit it. So Elise, if you could pray for us, and then we will sing together.
Well, Father God, we acknowledge you this morning as Lord over all. You are God of Canada, God of Syria, God of Lebanon, and of Ukraine, and of the entire world. And God, we are mindful and very grateful of the privilege that we have to live in Canada, to live at peace and in safety. And God, we thank you that we have had the privilege of welcoming Iman and Ahmed and Abed and Lana into our community all these years ago. And God, we thank you for the friendship that we have established with them, how we have grown through this relationship. And God, we are grateful that you, in your wisdom, placed us in families. And we are very humbled by the opportunity to help partner with you in reuniting Iman's family. We pray for Muna and Manar as they prepare their departure from Lebanon. We pray for their health, their safety, their well-being. And God, we look forward to a joyful reunion of this family. At the same time, we pray for those of the family members who are staying behind and pray that you would provide for them as well. And God, as we take up this offering, we are mindful of your goodness in providing for us so that we can be generous and gracious towards others. And God, I thank you for each one who will give from the goodness of their heart, from what you have provided, Lord. And we pray that you will use it all for your good purposes. In Jesus' name, amen.